Hatley Beach opened the brown envelope without noticing that the right lower corner was somewhat wadded and slightly damaged. He was opening so many personal envelopes these days, he looked only at the return address to see who and where they came from, nor did he notice the Tampa postmark. He hadn't heard from Al Conyers in several weeks. He read the letter through without stopping, and found little if no interest in the fact that Al was using a new laptop. It was perfectly believable that Ricky's pen pal had taken a sheet of stationery from the Royal Sonesta in New Orleans and was pecking out the letter at 35,000 feet. "Wonder if he was flying first class," he asked himself. Probably so. They wouldn't have computer hookups back in coach, would they? Al had been in New Orleans on business, stayed at a very nice hotel, then flew first class to his next destination. The brethren were interested in the financial conditions of all their pen pals. Nothing else mattered. After he read the letter, he handed it to Finn Yarber, who was in the process of writing another one as Poor Percy. They were working in the small conference room in the corner of the law library, their table littered with files and mail and a pretty assortment of soft pastel correspondence cards. Spicer was outside at his table, guarding the door and studying point spreads. "Who's Conyers?" Finn asked. Beach was flipping through some files. They kept a neat folder on every pen pal, complete with the letters they received and copies of all letters they'd sent. "Don't know much," Beach said. "Lives in the D.C. area, fake name, I'm sure. Uses one of those mailbox services. That's his third letter, I think." From the Conyers file, Beach pulled out the first two letters. The one from December 11 read, "Dear Ricky, hello. My name is Al Conyers. I'm in my 50s. I like jazz, old movies, Humphrey Bogart, and I like to read biographies. I don't smoke and don't like people who do. Fun is Chinese takeout, a little wine, a black and white Western with a good friend. Drop me a line. Al Conyers." It was typewritten on plain white paper, the way most of them were at first. Fear was stamped between every line. Fear of getting caught. Fear of starting a long-distance relationship with a complete stranger. Every letter of every word was typewritten. He didn't even sign his name. Ricky's first response was the standard letter Beach had written 100 times now. Ricky was 28, in rehab, bad family, rich uncle, etc. And dozens of the same enthusiastic questions. What kind of work do you do? How about your family? Do you like to travel? If Ricky could bare his soul, then he needed something in return. 2 pages of the same crap Beach had been writing for 5 months. He wanted so desperately to simply Xerox the damn thing, but he couldn't. He was forced to personalize each one on nice, pretty paper. And he sent Al the same handsome photo he'd sent to the others. The picture was the bait that hooked almost all of them. 3 weeks passed. On January 9, Trevor had delivered a second letter from Al Conyers. It was as clean and sterile as the first, probably typed with rubber gloves. "Dear Ricky, I enjoyed your letter. I have to admit, I felt sorry for you at first, but you seem to have adjusted well to rehab and know where you're going. I've never had problems with drugs and alcohol, so it's difficult for me to understand. It sounds as though you're getting the best treatment money can buy. You shouldn't be so harsh on your uncle. Think of where you might be if not for him. You ask many questions about me. I'm not ready to discuss a lot of personal matters, but I understand your curiosity. I was married for 30 years, but not anymore. I live in D.C. and work for the government. My job is challenging and fulfilling. I live alone. I have few close friends and prefer it that way. When I travel, it's usually to Asia. I adore Tokyo. I'll keep you in my thoughts in the days to come. Al Conyers." Just above the typewritten name, he'd scribbled the name Al, with a black felt pen, fine point. The letter was most unimpressive for 3 reasons. First, Conyers did not have a wife, or at least he said he didn't. A wife was crucial for extortion. Threatened to tell the wife, to send her copies of all the letters from the gay pen pal and the money rolled in. Second, Al worked for the government, so he probably didn't have a lot of money. Third, Al was much too scared to waste time with. Getting information was like pulling teeth. The Quince Garbs and Curtis Gates's were much more fun because they'd spent their lives in the closet and were now anxious to escape. Their letters were long and windy and filled with all the damning little facts an extortionist might need. Not Al. Al was boring. Al wasn't sure what he wanted. So Ricky raised the stakes with his second letter, another piece of boilerplate Beach had perfected with practice. Ricky had just learned that he would be released in a few months, and he was from Baltimore. What a coincidence! And he might need some help getting a job. His rich uncle was refusing to help anymore. He was afraid of life on the outside without the help of friends, and he really couldn't trust his old friends because they were still on drugs, etc., etc.